Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
We're in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we should all be uniting to battle this invisible enemy. But there are some who want to take advantage of the situation, as Rahm Emanuel advised Democrats to never let a crisis go to waste. We see that happening right before our eyes, from Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor wanting to push through recreational marijuana, to Governor Wolf wanting to include a minimum wage hike to paid sick leave in any coronavirus aid bill. We see them using this crisis to their advantage, or trying to. But how about the climate change activists? Is there any situation there that they're trying to take advantage of it? Are they using this crisis to promote their agenda? My guest today is Greg Wrightstone. He's a geologist and author of Inconvenient Facts. Thanks, Greg, for being with us.
Oh, you bet. And you can bet your bottom dollar that they've been trying hard to co-equate the COVID-19 with climate change.
Yeah. And when it first started, though, the news media were just concentrating on, you know, the fact that it had reached our shores and the dangers and such as that, the COVID-19. And they were talking about, you know, really, and way back in the beginning, they said it was no big deal. And they attacked President Trump for ending flights from China. I mean, they called him a racist and totally overreacting to the situation. So they've changed tactics now. And the storyline is President Trump didn't act soon enough, and that he's the reason the 50,000 Americans have died. So how have the climate change activists used this crisis?
I think the first to really go overboard on this was the Pope about 2 weeks ago. He said that COVID-19 was certainly nature's response to and their revenge of nature on mankind for how we're treating the planet. That doesn't sound very biblical to me. That sounds more pagan. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like a Mother Earth, Gaia Earth of taking revenge on humanity.
Yeah.
And then he exposed his lack of climate change knowledge right after that. He says no one remembers that 18 months ago a boat could cross the North Pole because the glaciers had all melted. He really believes that. And we're supposed to take advice from this guy on climate change matters. He's pushing the Green New Deal and the Paris Climate Accords. It's been 6,000 years since the North Pole was ice-free in summer. And there aren't any glaciers up there anyhow. He said it's sea ice. It's frozen sea ice. So, I mean, he just gets it so wrong.
Right.
And then there was a webinar that was held April 2nd. It was called Covering Climate Change in an Age of Coronavirus, where they had four well-known alarmists that got on there. One of the things they talked about was what they called distancing. In other words, with COVID-19, the distancing factor meant, well, when it was over in Wuhan, that was, those poor people, but we weren't too concerned. But then it came closer and closer and closer until it was right on our doorstep is when we became frightened. It was suddenly here. And they equate that to climate change. In terms of climate change, the distancing factor means that bad things are going to happen many decades in the future, and we're not that concerned. And so their advice were to editors and journalists that we need to portray and show the people of the world that climate change is happening now and it's having negative consequences. So they're really going to be ramping up, looking at every possible unusual event and equating it to man-made climate change. In fact,
they're going to be basically writing, I mean, I don't know if they'll be writing, but they'll be advising editorial boards on what to write, on connecting, just highlighting climate change and that maybe COVID-19 is a reaction to our, you know.
Yeah, he said there was one of the participants was an editor-in-chief of a scientific journal, and he said that he says we should have so-called experts visiting editorial boards on a regular basis in order to explain these truly existential threats that could end civilization. And so he wants to get their heads right, make sure that these editorial boards that they understand that it's climate change and we're all going to die. You need to write about it.
Wow.
But I'd say the part that was really interesting is when they started talking about, well, it's coming up to summer, and summer, and late summer in particular, is always really good for climate change alarmists because that's when fires occur.
Okay.
That's when hurricanes happen, and we've more tornadoes in the summer. So they were almost rubbing their hands together in glee, talking about, oh, how I just can't wait. You know, it's supposed to be a really bad hurricane season. The other one says, oh, yeah. You know, so they're boy, they just can't wait for that first hurricane or that first fire.
So they are not concerned about the potential loss of life in wildfires or hurricanes or tornadoes, or more concerned about using those situations to their advantage to push their climate change mantra.
Yeah, they want to advance their agenda any way they can. And they're actually, they've gotten a couple hits here recently. And with this COVID-19, number one, if you look at it, we've seen how there was a consensus opinion. Everyone agreed with the modeling that was done, right? And well, we have a consensus opinion that agrees, supposedly, that agrees with climate change modeling. With COVID-19, we found out pretty quickly that that consensus opinion on models wasn't very accurate, was it?
Exactly.
In fact, they over-predicted, just as the climate models are over-predicting warming. Well,
yeah.
We found out pretty quickly, with climate change, 20 years from now, they're going to go, oh, well, yeah, those models weren't very right. But that doesn't help us today.
Right.
The other thing is that right now we've spent trillions of dollars on this. The economy's been devastated. And there's what that means in terms of climate change. They needed those tens of trillions of dollars to enact their precious green energy proposals for wind and solar. It's not there now.
Right.
We can't afford to have our economy was going to be crippled anyhow if we imposed the Green New Deal. We just can't do it.
Right.
And somebody needs to tell Governor Wolf that.
Well,
absolutely. Still pushing
and every other, especially Democratic governor out there, they're just crazy. You know, it's just crazy. But yeah, I also thought about the fact that their models for COVID-19 have been way, way off in their predictions of how many deaths and how many cases, et cetera, here in the U.S. And my thought is this should prove to those, you know, climate change activists won't believe anything except what they're saying, but it should prove to the American people just how unreliable models are in general. And that should include the climate change model. But as you're saying, that that error won't be exposed as quickly with the climate change models as it has been with the COVID-19 models. But to me, it's, you know, they're just guessing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be having a live streamed presentation tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. Inconvenient Facts Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Also live streamed on Inconvenient Facts YouTube channel. We'll be taking, the title is Death and Temperature. Will global warming kill us?
Death and Temperature. And that's going to be on
tomorrow, Tuesday.
Okay, great.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. We'll have it on our website. We'll probably have additional ones at least once or twice a week. Hopefully, have one on Thursday on the EPA's endangerment finding, where a new study just blew it apart. That endangerment finding was
right,
where the EPA declared that carbon dioxide was a pollutant.
I know, like the plants don't think it's poison.
No.
Yeah. So it's going to be on the Inconvenient Facts Facebook page or website.
Both.
Oh, both. Okay. Facebook and website.
We're live streaming simultaneously. And with the first one, it's out there. We've got a new website we're rolling out. It'll be available. The first one was just on CO2 basics. And it was pretty good. Now, what we're going to do, too, at our website, we're going to be providing, these are what I'm calling the Climate Chronicles, that we're going to have episode 1 and 2.
That's good.
We're going to
be
doing this, and then I'm going to provide PowerPoint presentation of all the figures that I use for subscribers to me. They can go download that PowerPoint, because that's a powerful thing for people to use.
And you'll be providing the education that our public education system is not providing.
Yeah. Now, actually, I was supposed to be flying home from Dallas, Texas today, because I was supposed to be speaking at the EarthX convention in Dallas, which was the largest Earth Day celebration in the world. They were expecting 200,000 people.
They were going to let you speak?
Yes.
Oh, you're kidding.
Isn't that a shock? So
maybe they don't know who you are. Maybe they haven't read Inconvenient Facts or something. I don't know.
No, they know about it. Okay. They said, well, to their credit, they said, we want to have, you know, you have a scientific book, and we want to, you know, so I was invited, and I was going to, we're going to do a teleconference where I'll be speaking remotely. That's coming up in 2 weeks. That's on my to-do list to put
together.
On your
to-do list, yeah. Back to your your Facebook and website, the program. Is that going to be 7 o'clock? That's going to be the consistent time?
We're planning that, yes.
Okay.
7 o'clock on Tuesdays.
Okay, great. Back to this webinar. Why do editors and editorial boards need to be told what to do?
Yeah, well, because the people that are lecturing, they're scared. They're very, very scared. They can see their climate change is now taking a back burner and may never be enacted. And so they need to step up the pace. They need to step up the fear. Again, what they require is a climate of fear. And that's what they're looking for, climate of fear. In order for us to be really scared, just like we were of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And they need that fear, so we'll do these things that will cut back on carbon dioxide emissions.
Yeah.
But yet if we look at the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, even though we've significantly reduced emissions, that carbon dioxide increase just keeps escalating at the same rate it was before.
Right. And I think Americans are beginning to wake up to the fact that we may well have been overreacting to COVID-19. As the shutdowns continue, and as Wolf now will be opening some counties on May 8th, I think Venango County will be one. We've only had 7 cases. That's all. But, you know, I think Americans are waking up and getting very frustrated with this shutdown order and, you know, you can't go to work, blah, blah, blah. Walmart can sell clothing and whatever else, but, you know, a small consignment shop cannot sell clothing. The imbalance and inequality there. You know, the Democrats always talk about equality, where they're definitely not showing equality when it comes to this whole method, whatever the methodology is that they're using to decide which business is open, which businesses stay closed. Now, some celebrities have celebrated, you know, saying that we have cleaner air now and the views are much sharper now because there's hardly any cars on the road. So they're celebrating that. And, of course, AOC is celebrating the crash of the oil industry here in the U.S. They're ramping it up, saying it was good for us to stay home because now look how much cleaner the environment is because we're, quote-unquote, not out there polluting it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can tell you that our family is gathering tonight to celebrate my granddaughter's 3rd birthday.
Oh, wow.
So we're not going to be social distancing.
Yeah, and, yeah good. And, yeah, we did the same things on Easter Sunday we normally do. We had church, you know, it was online church. But as far as gathering for dinner, having an Easter egg hunt and such as that, we did all that.
Yeah.
With the grandkids, you know, we didn't social distance at all, and we're still doing just fine.
Well, my wife and I attended the protest here in Pittsburgh that was last Monday.
Yeah.
It was really empowering.
Great.
I mean, to see all those people out there.
Good. Yeah. Was there a good crowd in Pittsburgh? I know I put a video on my Facebook page that showed, I don't know who shot the video, but it didn't show how large the crowd was. So it was a pretty good turnout there in Pittsburgh.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I've got a video that I had posted. The big crowd was in Harrisburg.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've got that video too,
which was awesome.
And that's understandable. It's more in the center of the state, and that was the big push.
Yeah, Daryl Metcalf is a friend. He's chairman of the House Environmental Committee. In fact, he's had me come testify a couple times.
Good.
Which causes heads to explode on the Democrat and liberal side.
Yeah, but Wolf hasn't answered any of his the head of the EPA Pennsylvania's version of the EPA hasn't answered any of Representative Metcalf's questions, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, he's pushing this, it's called the RGGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, is one bad thing. They want to impose cap and trade on the state. The other one's the Regional Transportation Group. So the RGGI would control electricity generation and the transportation that he's proposing would control basically they're going to tax gasoline again a lot in order to make you go buy electric. But I'll tell you one thing that for your listeners that I'm going to strongly recommend that they watch the movie that Michael Moore just published. It's called Planet of the Humans. The Humans. Planet of the Humans by Michael Moore, the left wing. He did Fahrenheit.
Right, yeah.
And it is a complete takedown and devastation of the green energy.
You're kidding.
Absolutely. Just devastating about how they lie, how they're promoting biofuels. They're basically cutting down entire forests and burning them in power plants and calling it green energy.
Michael Moore? Michael Moore did this?
Yes. He went to these solar festivals where they had bands playing that were supposed to be solar powered entirely.
Right.
It was nothing near that. They were plugged into the they can't do it with the solar power.
Yeah.
And he looked at it. It's just, again, Planet of the Humans. You have to watch it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's seen the light when it comes to this issue anyway.
Yeah.
That's very good.
A bunch
wow.
of hypocrites,
wow.
liars.
That's very good because he obviously had an open mind when he went to these so-called solar festivals and he saw what was really taking place, which people like, Ocasio-Cortez, I don't think her mind is, I don't think she's willing to come to this issue with an open mind.
Well, he also exposes, the devastation of mountainous areas, wooded forests, by putting up wind turbines Basically, he's calling it mountaintop removal.
Yeah.
Because they're putting them on top of the mountains and just, they were so opposed to mountaintop removal in Kentucky and West Virginia, weren't they?
Yeah.
But now they're doing basically the same thing throughout the East and all over the country when they're trying to put up these huge wind turbines. And these things only have a life of 20 or so years.
Wow. Yeah, I can remember driving through West Virginia. This was a couple years ago. And we were, with backcountry road. West Virginia has a lot of those, but it was a mountain road, which, West Virginia has a lot of those too, but we were coming around the sharp curve and all of a sudden you're right beside you practically up on the hillside on the left-hand side. In this case, there's a whole group of the wind turbines. Like, whoa, where'd they come from? So I was just a shock to see those up there on top of a mountain, right next to the road.
Well, the Pennsylvania Game Commission controls, I think, 1.2 million acres in Pennsylvania, and they control about 30% of all the industrial-scale wind potential projects. And last year, they voted unanimously, the Pennsylvania Game Commission did, to permanently ban any consideration of any wind turbine projects because they said it wasn't compatible with their mission, which was to preserve wildlife and to preserve endangered species and to preserve the plants and the forests, and they were completely right. And if you would listen, there's a recording available of the commissioners talking and debating this. It really wasn't a debate, just the complete hatred some of these gentlemen had for wind, because two of these fellows lived close to a project, and they just detest it. They say, I look out my back, I'm in my backyard, and what used to be a beautiful vista has just been ruined.
Plus, as far as the Game Commission's job is, part of their job is to protect wildlife, and those big windmills sure don't do that when it comes to killing birds and such.
Yeah, and think about it too, there was a recent biodiversity report by the UN where they were predicting 1 million extinctions over the next several decades.
I remember that,
and they said the greatest risk was loss of habitat. So what's their solution to climate change? Destroy habitat. Pave over hundreds of square miles for solar panel that'll be gone in 15 years. To cut down forests with mountaintop removal.
Mm-hmm.
And so their solution to save the earth is to destroy the earth.
Is to destroy it. Wow. Just like Michael Moore found with the solar festivals. It's just, they're two-faced. They're saying one thing. On one hand, one hand's doing something, and then the other hand's doing something completely different. They're just saying two different things, talking on both sides of the mouths. And I would hope the American people would see this through, this whole COVID-19 and with the models that were way off, and I would hope that they would connect with the climate change models, how inaccurate models are in general. I would just hope that there'd be something that would come, something positive, and also would hope that voters make note of which party it is that is keeping them shut down, keeping their businesses closed, keep them out of work. I'd hope that they would make note of the party affiliation of those governors you know, and just kind of connect the dots there as to how they should possibly consider voting when it comes to election time. How can folks contact you, Greg?
They can reach me I've got a website, inconvenientfacts.xyz. Again, we're rolling out we're going to have a merchandise page, too, where you can buy my highly coveted I Love CO2 swag. You can get bumper sticker, T-shirt. So that's inconvenientfacts.xyz. We've got a Facebook page, Inconvenient Facts Facebook, YouTubes. I've got great videos. We'll be posting my Climate Chronicles YouTubes. We'll be broadcasting live and then posting them on the website.
So YouTube's going to let you put them up?
Excuse me?
YouTube is going to let you put the videos up, the Climate Chronicles?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Until somebody complains and they might say you're against, you know, company code or whatever. Wow. Mm-hmm. So your website is inconvenientfacts.xyz?
Yes.
Okay, and then your Facebook page is Inconvenient Facts?
Yes.
And same thing.
A lot of good information every day.
Okay.
Try to stay away from the politics. And, of course, with climate change, that's difficult to do because it's so intertwined.
Because the underlying factor is politics.
Yeah.
And so much, even COVID-19's become that. So anyway. So, okay, Inconvenient Facts XYZ and a Facebook page, Inconvenient Facts. And I do encourage folks to check into his website and the Facebook page and into the videos he's going to be putting up. So I really appreciate your time, Greg. It's great.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, thanks for being a voice of reason.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.